Well, our next guest is no stranger to complicated relationships we have with our families. Michelle Coral is a founding member of Island Family Counseling Center, which is turning 30 this year. She's also an instructor and practica coordinator at the School of Child and Youth Care at the University of Victoria. Please welcome Michelle Coral.
Good morning.
Hello. Thank you for doing this.
No problem.
Now, the Best Brothers and How to Disappear Completely both explore relationships with mothers. The phrase, tell me about your mother, has become a bit of a cliche when we think about psychoanalysis analysis and counseling. What are the origins of the cliche?
Well, I think that comes from Freud, who did a lot of research on the mother-child bond. But I think that we've moved away from that question because there was a lot of mother-blaming that happened, you know, from those that focus, and mothers were feeling a lot of criticism and scrutiny. So now we tend to ask more general questions like, tell me what it was like for you growing up, who were you closest to, what kind of models did you have in terms of dealing with differences and dealing with conflict, and that gives us a broader sense of what the dynamic was in the family.
Okay, so...
Sorry?
Sure, yeah, we'll move your mic closer.
Okay, thanks.
So question one is no longer, tell me about your mother.
No, not unless people want to, you know, specifically come in and talk about their relationship with their mother, then we'll ask more, like, dynamic kind of questions. But generally, we go for more broad descriptions.
Nonetheless, the relationship with the mother has to be crucially important, doesn't it? Why is it so important?
Well, if you think about it, it's your most intimate, intense relationship that you have. And that relationship can create, you know, a strong sense of security and stability and safety. And from there, you know, a child launches into the world and develops all kinds of other relationships and, you know, takes risks and becomes their own person. And so that is the foundation for all the other relationships. So it's crucial in terms of, you know, that attachment and, you know, that kind of safety so that you can develop into your own person. And when the attachment has been disrupted or interfered for a variety of reasons, like postpartum depression or illness, then, you know, that launching into other relationships in the world becomes a lot more difficult.
I wonder about specifically the relationship between mothers and sons. How does a son's relationship with his mother influence his relationships with people throughout his life?
Well, again, it's the intimacy and it's the closeness. And, you know, the mother and son relationship, I mean, she's the most important person in their life. And so from that relationship, they learn about intimacy and closeness and being able to, you know, accommodate different needs and different ways of being. And so that allows them, you know, they learn a lot from that, and then it allows them to, you know, develop other intimate relationships.
Do you see a meaningful difference between the mother-son relationship and the mother-daughter relationship?
Not necessarily, but I think the dynamic is completely different, though, that mother-daughter relationships are unique in a lot of different ways, and just like the mother-son relationship is also, you know, very unique.
What about sibling rivalry? I know, like a lot of parents of young children, this is one that we fret over and wonder about constantly, and the Best Brothers highlights issues of sibling rivalry and the accompanying fear that mom always liked you best. Is there any research that, you know, that suggests our relationship with our siblings might determine how well we get along with others later on in life?
Well, the thing is, it's like your siblings teach you a lot about how to deal with difference, how to deal with conflict, how to deal with competition, how to deal with disappointments. And, you know, those are important life skills. But in terms of, you know, like having a favorite or feeling like mom loves you best, I mean, kids come with all kinds of different personalities and temperaments and characteristics. And sometimes, you know, for parents, it's easier to be with one child over another. Now, does that mean that you love them any less? No, no. It just means that you have to, you know, develop different ways of being a parent to that child. And I think it's important for parents to see kids as individuals and then look at having, you know, meeting those needs and having that individual relationship with them. I think often we see the kids as a package, you know, the kids, we'll do this with the kids, but there isn't that attention to the individual and, you know, the one-to-one relationship that I think, again, comes back to that security and feeling like you are acknowledged as an individual person.
You know, parents, it's jumping off from the last question, but parents often say we love them all equally. There are no favorites. I mean, are we lying? I mean, I've got three little boys, and I don't think I'm lying. But my oldest will pick me out on certain days where things are a little more stressful and say, see? It's not. Are we lying?
No, I don't think we're lying. I think that, you know, again, when you have a child that is maybe has similar interests to yours and has a temperament that is easy for you to be around, then it seems like there's some favoritism. But I'll tell you that when they grow up and they really become their own people and they become, you know, accomplished individuals, then all of that disappears because you love them equally and you're so proud of them. And I think that, you know, the challenge as a parent is to give, you know, maybe more time and attention to the child that is more difficult for you to be with. Now, that's often hard to do because there's limited time and there's limited energy. But, you know, as a therapist, that's what I recommend, you know, for parents that are having a lot of difficulty with one of their children is to, you know, you take away a little bit of the energy and time that you're giving to the other kids and focus on that child because, again, it comes back to that feeling of security and safety and feeling cherished. I mean, we all want to feel cherished.
What about later on in life? Hopefully later on in life, most times later on in life, when a son loses his mother. Can you talk about how this major life can affect people, sons in particular, as it's the focus in two plays?
Right. Well, I think grief and mourning is, it's a mind, body, and spiritual experience. And often it takes people by surprise. And I think that, you know, you're affected in so many different ways. And one of the most striking is in your intellectual abilities. And so, you know, people often feel like they're going a little crazy because suddenly they can't, you know, concentrate. And especially if you're a detail-oriented person, then you're really frustrated because you can't focus and you're maybe losing your keys or you're missing appointments and you know, and you're really struggling to try to get back to normal. But the thing is, it's like when you're grieving, there is no normal. Like, it's a process that you just have to go through. And so you have to give the space that's required to, you know, that kind of healing. And so you have to allow yourself to not be 100%. You also have to allow yourself to be exhausted. I mean, grief is exhausting. And your body can feel really heavy at times. And the spiritual component is you ask yourself really big questions where there are no answers, like, why did this happen? Or what does this mean? Or, you know, and for, you know, the play, it could be, you know, was I close enough? Did I spend enough time with her before she died? You know, all of those kind of questions where there's no answers. You just have to go through it.
Michelle, thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Michelle Coral is a founding member of Island Family Counseling Center and an instructor and practica coordinator at UVic's School of Child and Youth Care.